We live in a very distracted age. I think most people would probably agree with that. While I was writing this homily, in fact, I was at the rectory writing it around lunchtime, and I got distracted by a cat was meowing outside. There were school kids at recess. I was thinking about all these upcoming things that I had to do, emails I had to answer, everything but what I really needed to focus on. And some of you probably might even get distracted. You might be distracted that I have glasses on this morning, because I don't wear them very often, just to get that distraction out of the way for the rest of the homily. There are just constant temptations and distractions that we face, and those can come from external things, like our phones, for instance, or just from things in our own head that we're thinking about. But those distractions can be invitations to holiness. Give me invitations to holiness. So our readings for this Sunday, they place a very strong emphasis on prophecy, but also listening to the Lord in that prophecy. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And that listening can feel impossible when we've got all these distractions going on. But the mistake that we can make is to see that as an impossibility, rather than the Lord can be working and creating an opportunity for us to be sanctified through those distractions. And these distractions, they're often small, but they're really crucial. There's a couple saints that I'm going to talk about in this homily. The first is St. Francis de Sales, whose feast day we just celebrated this past Wednesday. And he was a French bishop who lived in the 16th and 17th century. He became a doctor of the church for his writings, especially on the spiritual life. His most famous book is The Introduction to the Devout Life, which is a very good book. I highly encourage you to take a look at it. And I'll quote it a couple times in this homily. Anyway, he says that we often seek to rid ourselves of big temptations, but it's the small ones that can be the most bothersome for us. And he likes to use a lot of animal analogies. And so in terms of animals, he says that wolves and bears could be more dangerous than flies, but flies will try our patience more. Meaning, we want to avoid these big temptations and sins, but often the small ones that we face can be just as difficult to counteract. And that's what distractions are. They are small, but they're the things that will try our patience often the most. In our second reading, St. Paul names what these distractions are: anxieties. Now, I don't think St. Paul is talking about psychological clinical anxiety, and if that is occurring in someone's life, it needs to be treated if it seriously interferes with their life. Instead, what he's referring to are worldly concerns. He mentions that those who are married, for instance, will face more worldly anxieties than virgins or those who live the celibate life, those that are unmarried. Those who live the latter will care more about the things of the world because they won't be distracted by as many worldly things. And that is the purpose of consecrated or celibacy. Now, I can tell you that that does not always happen, and priests don't always live that perfectly, but it's what the church envisions, to be able to have that life that is totally focused on the Lord, focused on prayer, focused on contemplation, and to be able to love others fully through living that consecrated celibate life. And at first reading this, we can feel maybe a little discouraged. Maybe if you're married, you can feel discouraged, because it can look like St. Paul is kind of coming down on marriage. But he's not saying this to be a burden to all of you. You can still turn to the Lord. It's possible to be able to do that. It might look different. A life of prayer is going to look different in every state in life and every vocation. It's going to look different for a married person than a priest. It's going to look different from a priest to a monk who lives in a monastery. The way that we pray is going to vary according to our state in life, and that's okay. So with that then, how do we counter these anxieties that can cause distractions in our life? Well, the first thing we need to do is to name it. We need to name what the anxiety is. Name what we're concerned about. What are you worried about? That can go a long way, because if we don't know what we're anxious about, it can be hard to counteract it and to be able to move forward. Now, if you don't know exactly what that is or you're having a hard time identifying it, then ask the Lord to reveal that to you. Now, he may not show you in that moment, but the Lord often will reveal these things to us over time. And then another encouragement is to take that to someone who we trust in a spiritual way. That could be in the sacrament of confession, to be able to bring those things to a confessor and receive God's healing mercy, or just to bring it to someone who you trust. You can talk to about spiritual things, and that can reduce the power that that anxiety has over you, naming it and then talking to somebody about it. Then, after naming it, we can't get trapped by it. Francis de Sales uses another animal analogy, this time a bird who gets trapped. And maybe you've seen this, where a bird maybe gets stuck in a tree or stuck in a bird feeder or something. And what does the bird do when this happens? Well, they just flutter around trying to get out of it. They're not rational animals, so they don't have a grand plan to be able to get out of something. So they just flutter around until they get out. And oftentimes, we can get stuck. We can kind of flutter around. We can get stuck in rumination. We can turn into a downward spiral that usually leads nowhere. And the other way that we often will distract ourselves is just to be able to find things that can lead to a certain escapism. And so if we feel this, we might reach for our phones, might turn to the TV remote to be able to turn on the TV. We might just fantasize about other things or living in another place or being in another place. I also think politics and church issues can be another way that this happens. We can think about things that really don't affect our life all that directly, but we can use them as an escape to get out, to think that we're getting out of ourselves and being able to remove ourselves from those daily concerns that we have. And it doesn't mean that there aren't legitimate uses for these things. There's not legitimate uses for our phones or having a little bit of escapism in our life. We need that respite sometimes. You probably don't need 3 hours of it, for instance. It has to be done in moderation. But we have to be aware of that and maybe acknowledge, where is that coming from? So instead of spiraling downward, instead of being like that bird who's trying to flutter out of a trap, we need to give that anxiety over to the Lord and allow the peace that only the Lord can give to return. Because we probably can't fix the situation, whatever we're anxious about, but the Lord can. The Lord has the power, just as Jesus does in the gospel when he quiets the man with the unclean spirit. He just uses the word quiet, come out of him. That very simple word, quiet. The Lord can quiet those thoughts, but we have to reach out to him and allow for him to be able to enter into our lives, to calm that demon of anxiety that can happen to us, those worldly concerns. Another saint who has some wise advice on this subject, who I just want to point to, is Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who's the founder of the Society of Jesus, or what we commonly call the Jesuits. And he offers some very practical rules for discernment. In fact, he's got 14 of them. And a few of those rules tell us what to do when we find ourselves anxious or thinking about worldly things while in prayer, kind of moving ourselves away from the love of our Creator, what we call spiritual desolation. And the first thing that he tells us is not to make any big changes in your life. So if you're concerned about something and you have a certain prayer time, don't forget that prayer time. Don't skip it. Don't make any big changes. Go to that prayer time. Do that thing that you're asked to do, because that could be dangerous if we make those changes. So don't make any big changes, especially in the spiritual life of prayer. But also, when we enter that anxious downward spiral, to turn to prayer, as I just mentioned. To turn to that prayer petition to the Lord, asking for the Lord's help. Also meditating on sacred scripture, which is probably better than turning to our phones. Going to sacred scripture and being able to enter into the Word of God and allow for it to transform you and see if the Lord is speaking to you in that. Another way is a fitting penance. So to be able to resist our phones, to resist the TV remote, those simple things, while they may seem small in the moment, can make a big difference when we're trying to move away from those distractions and move away from the Lord. Finally, to examine where all of this anxiety may have started from. Now, sometimes that can cause more anxiety, so we have to be aware of that too. But we need to be able to understand, okay, where did this start? Where did this begin somewhere in my day? The end of the day is a good place to do that, but sometimes in the middle of the day, that simple act and asking the Lord to be a part of that. Lord, tell me where this began. And then we can help identify it better. And so some of these remedies, all of these remedies, they can be very helpful in being able to move beyond those distractions, to turn to the Lord, to be able to hear his voice. Finally, knowing that when we turn back to the Lord through those distractions, the Lord is purifying us. He's trying to help us to be able to turn towards him and not towards those other things that can bring us anxiety, that can bring us sorrow. The Lord can use that to be able to trust him more and more. That's how he enters into our daily life. And that's how those distractions can become a means towards holiness.